This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Youth Baseball Talk. Only on lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Youth Baseball Talk. I'm your host, Jim Cromer. And of course, Youth Baseball Talk is brought to you by The Rope Trainer, made by Perfect Pitch and Throw. And it's endorsed by Hall of Fame pitcher and young arm activist John Smoltz. And as he says, everybody should have one, from big leaguers to little leaguers. It's an awesome way to both train and help the arm. And I have great hope that the Rope Trainer will do a lot for the young arm problem that we have all across the country, all across the world, basically. So I can't thank those guys enough for their commitment to our show and their commitment to our kids and trying to fix this arm problem we have. I've got a great show for you guys this week. I'm really, really excited about it. I know I say each and every week I'm excited, and I am, because I feel like we're making a difference based on how the show is done, the engagements that, you know, you can, you know, downloads are one thing, and obviously the show each and every week keeps hitting new highs, but how I gauge how we're doing is the engagements I get back from you, the listeners, and some of them are great stories. My favorites are when a dad or a coach will send in that, you know, and I don't mean this to sound like we've had this big burning bush here, but that we've made a difference in their life and how they're going to approach the game of baseball. And it could be for anything from a mechanical or an actual playing or athleticism type thing. But sometimes the ones that mean the most to me are the relationships that people have within their family and the game of baseball and what it should be. Nobody's saying don't be competitive. Nobody's saying don't go out and win and don't try to be the best player you can be. All we're saying is you know, let's have some fun. Let's try to do it the right way. And hey, go get them. You know, go be as good as you can be. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about. But the reason I'm excited about this show this week is I feel like I'm worthy more than ever to have back on one of the guys that helped build the show. When I first started the show, it started as a borderline hobby. I felt like I had something to say. I was blessed to have on some unbelievable guests at the beginning that through their own connections and their own social media and how well they were respected within the baseball community, it made a big difference in how quickly the show grew and how it got to where it is today. And one of those guys is, you know, in my book, tied for first when it comes to the game of baseball and going out and both helping, training, teaching, sharing, doing anything he can to help. And that is Matt Lyle. So I want to welcome in. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
Great, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
No, I tell you, I was just telling our listeners what a big part you played in helping the show grow. And I know you and I talked a little bit about it. But the opportunity to be able to reach this many people has been a testament to you and both your involvement in the game of, I mean, really, you're involved everywhere from kids all the way up to major leaguers. So I can't thank you enough. And I hope things are going really well for you. What you up to these days?
I appreciate that, and it's been fun to watch your show grow. You know, congratulations on all the success as well. You know, for me right now, we're just kind of focusing on the Hitting Vault, you know, a website that I launched a couple of years ago, and you know, and I did it kind of, you know, amateur is probably not the best word to use, but it, you know, I did it from, kind of bootstrapped it, and then 2 years later decided, hey, you know, I really want to do this right. I want to do it the highest quality I possibly can. And so, you know, decided to rebuild the entire program and website. And, you know, in August, we were able to relaunch it again. So, you know, that's kind of the main focus of my time and energy right now. And, you know, pretty proud about it and, you know, focusing on that right now.
Well, you know, what's amazing is that really at the beginning, you know, was kind of how I found you. I was just I didn't find you as a Youth Baseball Talk host. I found you as a coach and a parent. And, you know, I would see a lot of the stuff that you would do through social media. You know, I would try to learn as much as I could by watching what you were doing. And I was really impressed, and I thought, boy, what a great resource, you know, and it was a fantastic. And so for me to hear you talk about how you started and it was kind of, you know, you kind of just put it together and now you've reached these new heights. You know, I can't tell you what, like, you know, I say it all the time, your website, of course, my contributor each and every week, Justin Stone, and he has his. I mean, you guys do tremendous work. And it's also from a coach or a parent's point of view, It's not just what you're teaching, it's how you're teaching. And if I, you know, when I look at the hitting vault, the content's great, but it's how you guys teach. Is this, you know, do you get a lot of that from people? Like, I don't know, this guy was okay, but for some reason I just click with you.
Yeah, you know, for me, as the years go by, as a coach, you know, I think the best coaches and the ones who have mentored me have not been about the content, and have not been about the X's and O's. It's just really been about impact and relationship. And so I try to approach, you know, every kid I come across, whether it's a major league player I work with or a 12-year-old, is, you know, I want to have a great relationship with them. And I think when you have a great relationship and you feel like you can communicate really well with that person, the teaching of the actual content is much easier than trying to be the smartest guy in the room. And so for me, you know, with the social media and with everything else, something I hope that distinguishes myself different from the other hitting gurus out there is that, you know, I don't want to be the smartest guy in the room. I don't have to be. I would much rather just be able to teach the game right, have a really good impact and relationship on the people that I come across. And if I can help them in some way, to me, that's a much better win than, you know, being the best guy at hitting or the best teacher or whatever the title would be.
You know, as a father who has two, well, I call them older now because they're in high school, but I've seen this transition both, it seems like, in the world of teaching, and I've seen it with my own kids, and that is a transition to being more athletic across the board. It almost makes me feel like that's kind of a stupid statement, like, well, of course, you know, you have to be athletic, but it seems like to me, and you correct me if I'm wrong because you're the expert here, it seems like we got away from that for a little while, and we got real mechanical. That's what it seems like to me. Am I crazy?
Yeah, definitely. I think along the ways, maybe about 10 years ago or so, and during that time period, it was really about, you know, step one, step two, step three, step four. These are the things you need to do at each step of the swing or whatever the thing that we were trying to master. And now we've just realized that, you know, good athletic movements are much more important. So, you know, I talk a lot with my hitters about what I call the swing movement spectrum. And you've got, you know, people who on one end, like a Josh Donaldson, who has, you know, on the very end of the movement spectrum of swing athletic movements. And you have other people who, you know, are super restricted and they just pick their foot up and they don't have any load. And, you know, there's this huge movement spectrum. And I think that, you know, I spend a lot of time with our hitters, you know, talking about that and where they are on that spectrum. And so we really try to focus more on athletic movements and body movements than I talk about swing mechanics. I actually try to avoid the word swing mechanics as much as I can.
I mean, you know, the common conversation out here is there a right way? I mean, you know, people say this way, my all-time favorite's linear versus rotational, which – I mean, I think we've come to the conclusion that hitting is both linear and rotational. But
absolutely.
I mean, is there a right way? I mean, can we put a finger on you have to do this or you shouldn't do this? Or is it all about both athleticism and what you kind of as an athlete can and can't do?
Well, I think it's just a combination of all of those things. I do believe that there are best movement patterns. I think that if there we could say, like, you know, in the load process or in the stride process, I think that there are bests. Now, having said that, I think that there are many athletes who get away with not making the best. You know, I would tell you that if we talked about every movement that Mike Trout or Josh Donaldson does in their swings, I would say that they don't have the best movements in every section of their swings. But that would be crazy to say that they don't have a good swing, or, you know, or to say that they're doing something wrong. I would be crazy for saying that. So I think that there's a good combination of what – you know, what they're capable of and the body control that they have. But I do think there are best movements and best things that you can do. But, you know, I would not change, you know, Giancarlo Stanton, for example, has a really flat bat path through his entire swing. And Chris Bryant has a really vertical bat path through his almost entire swing. Would I tell either one of them to change to the other thing? You know, that would be ludicrous. And so I think that there are, you know, hitters or athletes out there in general who have learned other ways to master something, or that they are just incredibly athletic. One of the things I notice a lot is I come across hitters who don't have very good swing movements, but they have incredible hand-eye coordination and barrel control, and they're great hitters. And, you know, so the saying that I always tell my kids is that, hey, if you stand in the back in the batter's box with the bat upside down and your helmet on backwards and with one eye closed and you hit 500 in 20 home runs, you know, you're doing it right. I'm not going to tell you to do it any differently.
You know, that is so simple yet great that, you know, it makes you laugh. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you hear a lot when somebody's young, you know, the whole, yeah, it's working for them right now, but it's not going to work for them when it's older. You hear a lot of that at the diamond. You hear a lot of, you do hear some like guys that they're going to teach it the way they were taught. Something that comes to mind when I think about guys like yourself who are so well thought of and well respected is the fact that you can sit that you know, and you openly say you're always learning, right? You're getting better. I'm sure, you know, like I've had Bob Tewksbury on the show, who famously works with Josh Donaldson. And we had a great conversation. The thing I thought that was interesting was he felt like he had an aha moment in his life when he said that by watching tape of Albert Pujols, he realized that everything he was taught about swinging a baseball bat was incorrect. Or not everything, but basically it's like, man, what I thought was right is incorrect or is untrue. Have you ever had an aha moment like that?
It's so funny that you say that, because when I first got into coaching, you know, and as a head coach at high school in my early 20s, you know, I was a student of the game. So I watched every DVD, video, everything, book. I read everything. And so when I had met a mentor of mine named Craig Wallenbrock, who works with a lot of big name major leaguers, and you name a big name leaguer and he knows who Craig is. And I met him in 2006, and he kind of opened my eyes to what they were doing and studying video. And I'll tell you, almost my heart sank, because I realized just the stuff that I was teaching. You know, I was teaching, you know, get your foot down early and swing down and all this thing. I mean, everything that I had been teaching was, bad in my opinion. So, you know, over the years, I'm still friends with some of those kids that played for me 15 years ago. And I almost tell them, hey, I'm sorry. I almost have to apologize for the things that I taught you guys, because I felt like I learned, and I learned from college coaches who were successful and who had videos on the internet, and I studied them, and it was just an entirely different end of the spectrum than I had learned. And so it's been a long journey, and it still is. But for me, there's an aha moment when I had met Craig back in 2006 or 7, somewhere in that range, where he was a student of the game with video. And just for me, my eyes just opened, like, wow, I can't believe I've been doing this way for so long. You know, how was I so wrong?
Well, you know, it's amazing. And, you know, makes me more excited than to hear a guy like you, who's so well thought of, you know, a national teacher, it impacted the lives of, I mean, countless people when it comes to the game of baseball. You know, people look to, I mean, they do, they look to you for answers, right? And here you are, still today, learning and getting better. I've said on the show 1,000 times that I think that the one thing holding us back as youth baseball is, and I always preface this by saying I don't think it's an intentional or a horrible thing, is that the game is impacted so heavily by just flat out everyday volunteer, God bless them, dads or friends or whatever the case may be. It really doesn't even matter who they are. But they know just enough, and I hate to use this term sometimes because it comes across the wrong way, but that's just enough to be dangerous. And unlike when we were kids and a dad knew just enough to be dangerous, you know, what did we play? 10 games, practiced about 10 times. Now these people that are quote unquote just enough to be dangerous have their hands on these kids from January to October, and they're inputting on them what they believe to be right. And again, not to sound like I'm saying they're doing it, you know, demonizing way, but this is what they believe, right? So the mantra of my show is that coaches need to be coached. Is this where the hitting vault comes in?
It does. You know, it's really focused towards three areas, you know, coaches, parents, and athletes. And it has these kind of different avenues. And so before, with the original hitting vault, it was really just, hey, here's a set of drills, and I want to show you them. Now it's designed that if you're a coach, here's the path to teach your athletes. And it also gives you hitting plans on, here's a weekly hitting plan, here's what to do on game day. And so there's a, you know, there's this very kind of nice path that coaches can walk along. And then there's a parent's path where it's like, hey, here's parents, here's how you can teach it. Here are some things that you can identify in the swing and, you know, how you can address them. And then there's an athlete path that a lot of, you know, I would say mostly high school, college, and pro players that purchase it, you know, just kind of says, hey, here's where you start. Here's the program. Start here, see where you're at on it, and help yourself to kind of identify problems with it. But, you know, for me, the biggest thing that I tell coaches, whether it's advice or not, is that, you know, the biggest mistake that coaches can make, in my opinion, are to develop a philosophy, whether, you know, rotational hitting and whatever the thing is that, you know, pitching, and they spend their entire lives defending that philosophy. To me, I think that's the worst thing that I see that's happened over the last 50 years, where my best advice is to be able to be vulnerable and say, hey, 10 years ago, what I taught was terrible, and I'm committed to getting better. And next year, I'm going to be better at teaching this, and I'm going to learn more about this. And, you know, I've been doing this for 17 years, and I think that I've come along a long way, but I still think there are people out there that are teaching me, you know, how to teach my hitters to be better, and I'm still learning and growing. And I'm hoping 5 years from now that I'll look back and say, hey, oh man, this, you know, I've learned it so much more. I'm hoping that I'm continually learning. I think setting up camp and saying this is the best way, and then, you know, being stuck in that is just a really bad idea.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it takes a village, you know, they say. So what I think is great about what you're doing here is, you know, you have different types of things that you can do through the hitting vault. And like I said, so it starts at home, right? And we always say that the kids got to want to do it, right? And it's some, now obviously they're young and they have all kinds of things going on. So I don't put a whole lot on, like, you know, like I wanted my kids to want to do it. And if they didn't want to do it, I wouldn't have made them do it. But both my kids wanted to do it, so we did. Now, does that mean they were every day running home and doing all this? My younger one kind of did. My older one kind of didn't. It wouldn't have mattered because I wanted them to play and have fun. And then obviously you have the parent involvement in it. And the parent wants to help the kid, right? They want to help them, but sometimes they don't know how to help them. And then you have the coach who sometimes either is just a volunteer, is there to help, or to your point, needs to get better. I think you're providing that for anybody based on what their role in this becomes. What do you see the parent's role in this being?
Well, I come across a lot of parents who, you know, they're super involved in their kids' athletic career, sometimes too much, obviously. I'm sure you've come across more than anybody. And so, you know, I think there are dads and moms who do a good job of creating an environment that, you know, whether it's a good coach or they're paying a hitting coach or a pitching coach, and they feel like they're getting the results that they want, and I think they're on the right path. For me, the hitting vault is an avenue, I think, for those people who want the elite instruction, but it's also for a lot of parents who they just don't know. I get a lot of emails saying, hey, you know, do you know anyone in the Chicago area that's a good hitting coach? Do you know anyone? And a lot of times I feel bad. I say, I don't. I mean, I can't recommend somebody. I feel like I'm hoping that the hitting vault is a resource for those people that says, hey, you know, you're going to get access to Coach Lyle's hitting instruction, the same instruction that I give my pro players, the same instruction I give my 12-year-old softball hitters. You know, that whole spectrum, that entire library is right there. And the way that's designed now is that, you know, I'm really holding your hand through the entire process. So even if you can't find a good hitting coach in your area, or you're just lost in the process of how can I help my, you know, son or daughter get better, it's designed to really just kind of walk you through it and kind of allow them to be able to, you know, bring up their phone in the batting cage and be able to actually do what I'm trying to teach and basically have me in the batting cage with them. And so my hope is to be able to reach a lot of the parents that, you know, don't have access to really good content.
Okay, so whether I'm parent or coach and I need some help, I've realized I need some help, or maybe I'm the lucky one and I know going into it I need some help, right? It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
whether you've had an epiphany, whether you are, and I do say this about myself. I mean, I kind of had an aha moment for myself where I was like, man, I'm not near as smart as I think I am. I'm not near as good at this as I think I am. I really need to. And the big factor for me was is that I wanted to get better. So I think once, whether it be a player, a parent, or a coach has that moment, they are now ready to go out and seek. So walk us through it. So it's very simple. It's a great, it's a very easy thing to do. It's thehittingvault.com. So we get on here, and it's a great site, very informative. And it looks like, and look, you got our old friend Daniel Descalzo from St. Louis on there. He was a, loved him as a Cardinal. And just easy to do. So walk us through it. What do people do here?
So they choose it. They choose a path, and so for I would say for most people, they choose the pro. They choose the pro package, unless they're a travel ball coach or a high school coach. But most parents and players choose the pro package, and it allows them. The first thing that they do is they get into our swing build program. And so for me, when they get into the swing build program, they are literally walking through like grip, stance, and I'm gonna teach you all the mechanics that I think are the best swing movements to learn in the swing. So, you know, regardless of even if they do any drills, you're going to get my entire, you know, here's how I think you should swing the bat. Here's what I think are the best movements and you know, finding the right movement patterns for that hitter. And then the drills to build up those movements. So, you know, the ways to kind of reinforce the best swing movements. And then as they learn the swing build program and their swing gets better, there's a kind of a, you know, faults and fixes section that allows you to say, okay, I know a little bit about my swing here. I've built it up a little bit, but I'm realizing that I'm doing this in my swing or I'm having this problem. And you can go into the faults and fixes area now and just and go specifically to that fault. And I'm going to talk about that fault. I'm going to talk about how to fix it. And I'm going to give you a whole series of drills that you can address. Because a lot of times as coaches or parents, we come across a drill that is supposed to fix something. And that one drill doesn't fix it. And we're like, man, this is the drill that's supposed to fix this, and it's not working. So I've created a series of drills that's because a lot of times with hitters, it's not the first drill that works for them. Sometimes it's the third drill, and it's like, ah, that aha moment of like, ah, now I get it. That drill makes sense to me. Or this drill made more sense to me. Even though it's teaching the same movement patterns, just everybody learns different and hears different. And so for that series, it allows you to address the fault from a few different angles instead of just one, because a lot of times they get that just that one choice and it's like, hey, I'm doing what you're telling me to do. I'm not getting the result. Now what do I do? And so I've tried to tackle it from all areas. And so, you know, for parents who, especially for parents who, you know, let's say you've got a baseball dad who helped their son until they're 10, 11, 12 years old, and they've realized, hey, you know, I can't probably teach the things that I thought I could teach, or I can kind of lead them up to this point. You know, the hitting vault's a great transition for like, hey, now you want to start working on some elite swing movements. You want to, you know, you want to kind of step up your game. It's a great tool for, you know, dads and moms to be able to say, okay, I'm going to actually learn some here too. And you know, I have a lot of moms who have bought these packages, have learned the swing, and I've gotten emails from like, hey, I'm working with my son or daughter and having success and learning. And so it's been pretty fun experience for sure.
Okay. So at this juncture, and here again, we're here with Coach Matt Lyle talking about the Hitting Vault. Make sure you check it out, thehittingvault.com. It's awesome stuff. I want to put you on the spot a little bit. Okay. Three quick answers. Your best quick piece of advice, and let's start with the player. Best piece of advice you could give him.
My best piece of advice is to the word trust the process is thrown around a lot on social media and out the world right now. Trust the process. And I think there are a lot of players who are willing to trust the process, whether it's finding a good coach and willing to do the work. My best advice is, you know that you're on the right path if you love the process. Love the process, not just trust the process. And so my best advice to any athlete or hitter is if you really want to get better, you have to be willing to love even the boring drills and the boring work and the T work and not just the games. And so my best advice is learning how to love the process, not just trust it.
It's a great answer, because I mean, we're talking about a game just as, you know, I know you know Steve Springer, just filled with failure, and you got to almost embrace it. So yes, I mean, it's what a great answer. How about for the parents? They got a kid going through this, whether they're, doesn't matter whether they're just starting, whether they're struggling, even if they're the best player, what's your best piece of advice for a parent?
My best piece of advice is to create an environment that they will want to love the process, not an environment that, you know, it doesn't. And then, you know, find a coach that you trust and release them to them, Find a coach. Hey, I trust you. Here's my son or daughter. And I'm going to step back. And, you know, lastly, just allow them to fail. Allow them, you know, to be able to understand the failure process of it. And I think that a lot of kids nowadays, a lot of their fear and anxieties around failure aren't even around them. It's around letting their parents down, or the fear of the car ride home, or dad's going to tell me how bad my day was because I went 0-for-4. And so, you know, my best advice for parents is to, you know, create an environment that their son or daughter knows that it's okay to fail, and the car ride home is going to be a safe zone that we can talk about getting ice cream or what we're having for dinner, not about you know, the failures and successes of the day.
You know, what's amazing is every quality person that comes on here that is so highly respected and so highly thought of in the baseball community echoes those sentiments. And they all, now they don't all say it exactly as you just put it, but it all comes back to the release your son, trust him, trust the coach, you know, let them handle it. Why is it so hard? I mean, you know, I guess I should be able to answer this, right? Because why is it so hard for us to do that as parents? Why can't we just let them kind of fend for themselves?
Well, I'll tell you, I have four kids. And so, you know, my two sons, one of them's five, and he's playing fall ball right now. And I had another one who's going to be 13 soon. He has a flag football game today, actually. And so, you know, it's just hard for dads and coaches who have a lot of experience in the game to go to practice and or a game and see, you know, oh, I would have done this better, or I could have done this better. I mean, I admit it. It's hard for me sometimes to watch a practice and say, oh, man, I would have done this differently. But I think that, you know, that's just part of being a parent. And I think, you know, my oldest is 20. And so when you, as they get older, you know, you have to just be able to say, hey, I trust that, you know, I've done a good job of this, and I'm going to have to release them. In my own experience and the experiences of those that have been around, the ones who have released their kids to the coaches and just trusted them in the long run have had much more success and the joy in that experience than the ones who have, you know, been the helicopter parents or wanted to get involved. You know, I think more and more kids have left the sport because of it. And so it's just hard. It's hard as parents to let go. You want to be involved in the process as much as you can. And, you know, I'm the first one to admit it's difficult even for me.
Great answer. Okay. Lastly, for the coach, and again, we're back to, I don't care if you're just starting. I don't care if you're asking for help, and even the coach that maybe doesn't want to hear it. What's your best piece of advice for them?
The best piece of advice is to treat the athletes that you have like your sons or daughters. And I don't mean on the field, because my dad coached me for 15 years, and he was probably the hardest person on me over anybody on the team. So I don't mean it in that way, but I mean truly love on them, get to know them and have relationships with them in the sense that, you know, after a practice or a game, you could take everybody out to ice cream and you had a great time. And so for me, when I look back at youth sports and the memories, and I had a lot of success, and probably a lot of your other guests have, but I think that the best experiences that I can remember are just the fun times and experiences. So my best advice to travel ball coaches and parents and stuff like that is, you know, we all would love for all of our athletes to become major league players and sign big contracts. But at the end of the day, their experiences and their relationships with their coaches are going to mean so much more. And so actually love on them and not just treat them as an athlete or just a player.
Those are great answers. You know, and I think as both a coach and a parent, I think that's what we want, you know, when it comes right down to it, and that's what we hope for. So, no, it's good stuff, and I wouldn't expect anything less from you. One more thing I want to touch on with you, and you know what, and I got to be honest with you, it's a touchy subject. I will accept no comment from you because it's such a touchy subject. But my hope is to use this show, as always, to inform and to talk about tough topics, right? I have been getting pounded lately with comments, questions, people wanting me to address, and I can't believe for 1 minute you probably haven't dealt with it. It's a hard subject to talk about, and that is when there is a – I'm trying to find a good word here. When there is a issue between what an athlete is doing outside of his high school baseball program, and then they go back to the high school baseball program, and there's a complete contradiction to what they've been doing. I can't believe it's exclusive to just these people that are contacting me, asking me to talk about it. But their frustration levels arise from that they spend, whether it be money, time, trust, with people that really get paid sometimes lots of money to do this for a living. And they see they both have, whether it be some success or improvement, maybe it's they've parlayed it into a college scholarship. Then they go back to the high school scenario, and it's a, this is awful, whatever their terms may be, but they want to do it their way, and the high school coach says, no, we're going to do it this way, and then there's a conflict. Do you want to address that at all? And the reason is I'm going to start asking some of the guys that are highly respected if they want to address it, because I, you know, first off, I guess my first question would be, have you dealt with this?
Oh, yeah, definitely dealt with it a lot. I mean, I coached high school for over 10 years, and so I dealt with it back then. I'm sure it's much more prevalent nowadays. You know, I could probably talk on the subject for a half an hour, so I'll try to give you my
Well, I was going to say, my goal is I would love to have, like, I'm trying to set up, I'm hoping to have, like, yourself. I'd like to have Rick Strickland on here from St. Louis. I'd like to have Justin on from Chicago and have, like a meeting of the minds over this. And talk about it, because it is a, I'm not kidding you, it's the, you know, it goes in spurts. I get people going, hey, what about this new thing coming out for this or this or this or this or this, right? I'm not kidding you. This thing has consumed my listeners for the last month. And I don't know if it's because they're going into the winter training and they're setting all this up. Maybe they're trying to talk to the their high school coach about winter training and they're like not meshing. I don't know. It just seems odd that this is happening. So if you just want to touch on it, know that if you guys want to do it, I want to have a roundtable. So go ahead.
Yeah, I would enjoy the roundtable as well. I'll just touch on it in a few ways. Mostly to the parents who are listening, I would tell you that, I mean, it's your child. You have to take ownership of that, of their journey in some ways, along with them. And so, you know, you've got to come across. Well, if my son was a high school athlete and I was getting really quality training. Let's say, for example, pitching training. I'm up in Seattle. I go to Driveline Baseball, where I really think they do a great job with pitching and developing pitchers and velocity. And I trust them, and I think they're doing a great job with my son, who's a pitcher. And my high school coach says, you know, you can't go to any outside pitching coaches. You can't do that. You know, the first thing I would do, if that's the case, and you've got this conflict, whether it's travel ball coach, is I would try to talk to them. You got to have a sit down talk and say, hey, here's why we think they're the best. Is there a way that we can work this out? And so the hope is that it ends with like, yeah, okay, you know, we'll work it out, and it works out. Worst case scenario, the high school coach says absolutely not. The parents is going to have to just make some choices, some harder choices. You know, at that point, are you saying that you don't trust, to release your son to that high school coach? Then you might have to make the tough decision to not play baseball for that high school coach and say, hey, my son's focused on development. He loves this program. He's getting better at it. I said that's the worst case scenario. But you know, if it was my son and his high school coach was absolutely against that, we would have the conversation of, hey, you know what? Maybe you're not going to play high school ball this year. Maybe we're going to play travel ball, and we're going to find a coach that will support you. And, like I said, that's worst case scenario. But as a parent, there's got to be some give and take there. But if you feel, and your son or daughter feels the same, like, hey, you know, I love this process. I love this coach, and I'm getting, you know, pushback from my other coach, I would try to resolve the pushback first. But at the end of the day, you got to make the best decision. And so it's a tough one, and I know it's probably happening all across America. I would encourage parents to try to resolve it instead of, you know, try to fight it first and then start, you know, making some decisions from there. You know, on the hitting side of it, you know, I had this conversation with I have this conversation, I won't name names, with a lot of college players that work, that hit with me in the off season, and they say, well, my coach doesn't want me to do this. My coach doesn't want me to do that. And, you know, I tell them, you know, off the record to them, you know, hey, if you hit 420 home runs this year and you are hitting really well, the coach is not going to tell you to do anything. I mean, you know, at least a good coach won't touch them too much. And so, you know, I tell them just focus on what they're doing and hit, and, you know, do the best you can to adapt what they're trying to teach at the time. And it's a tough line to walk. I mean, I deal with it with some major league players. You know, I work with a few guys who, you know, hit with me on the secret because they don't want their organization to know they're hitting. And so, just in case parents are wondering, it never ends. It never ends between what the athlete thinks is best for them and what the coach or program that they're in and thinks is best for them. And like I said, there's some giving up of trust in there, and there's some work on that end. On the other side, if you have high school coaches or travel ball coaches that they're coaching and coming across it on the other side of the fence, my best advice is to really sit down with the parents and figure it out and see, you know, who, if you have to go to a hitting lesson or a pitching lesson and say, hey, you know, I'm trying to get on the same page about what you're teaching and what this person is doing. And I would say that it would be well worth it to have that conversation. Now, having said that, I will own it completely that 10, 15 years ago, I was the coach who said, well, I'm the hitting coach here and I don't want you having any outside help. And I would get on my players about doing that. I would say that the grown up, more mature side of me would say, okay, you know, why do you want to hit with that hitting coach? You know, and I would have that conversation. And even if I have to sit down and talk with the hitting coach and the parent, you know, if it comes down to that, to get on the same page. And I would be willing to have that conversation now, where as a younger, less mature coach, I probably would have. So, and that's in a nutshell, that's probably the shortest answer I could give you in this call, but, you know, that's probably some of the advices that I would give out.
Well, I can tell you that I definitely want to have this roundtable because I appreciated all your answers and your honesty. Most of all, what I appreciated the most is, and it tells me what I've suspected all along, your honesty of saying, when I was a young coach, basically you're saying when you were a young coach, you don't know that you'd have handled it very well. But now that you're older, you know, we're all supposed to get wiser as we get older, right? So, you know, now you're saying, hey, you know, I have to embrace. But I think some of that is, and I don't want to use the word new school versus old school, but I think it's the fact that some of this, and again, I hate to use these terms, but this newer generation, right, we've realized that some of the things that we thought were true are not true. Or maybe that's a bad example, or maybe it's more that we've realized there's a lot more to it. You know, like we talked about, you know, I feel like we got away from being athletic to mechanical. Now we're back to, we want everybody to be athletic again. So it's evolving, right? It's changing. It's always moving. So I think there's room for both. I have found myself in conversations about that topic, and it's hot right now on both sides. Like, I have found myself defending both parties, and it's because I don't claim to have the answer. I don't currently have a dog in the fight, but if I had a dog in the fight, I could find myself being both opinionated, passionate, standoffish, because at the end of the day, what are we talking about? We're talking about our kids, right? We're talking about something that would seem to be easy, like, hey, let's just work together, right? Let's just work together. I mean, how hard can this be? You know, and it's so easy to say, well, he don't want to work with us. Well, I mean, again, there's always more to it than that, right? So,
absolutely,
great answer, and as I would expect from you, and I'm going to hold you to that. And like I said, once I can get a commitment from the guys on it, and again, I will respectfully respect a no comment from either of those other two guys or even yourself if there's ever things you don't want to talk about, because I also understand that we all got to work together, right?
Absolutely.
Supposedly we got to find a way. Nobody wants to be disrespectful. You yourself used to coach high school. Nobody more than you. And all these guys have coached at that level. Sometimes I think everybody knows what goes into it. I think people would be surprised to know. And again, the guys that I'm, like, for instance, obviously I'm around Rick Strickland a lot because he's right here. My kids are there. I think the high school coaches would be surprised at the number of times I personally have heard them tell a parent that's ripping on a high school coach that they're crazy. You know, I think the coaches sometimes think these guys are undermining them. They're actually not. this really, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, guys out there listening, this falls on us as parents a lot. Okay, we hear what we want to hear sometimes. We say what we want to say, and we want to fit it into this neat box to where it works out for our own situation, right? The whole round peg in a square hole thing, or, you know, the round hole square peg thing. So, you know, that's my thoughts on it. Matt, great show as always. Once again, why don't tell our listeners again the website, your social media stuff, where they can get it all. And then, like I said, I know they can look forward to when I get you back on here for that roundtable. Tell them all how they can get you.
Well, the website is thehittingvault.com, and you can go there and watch videos, and there's some sneak previews on there, and a really great blog about swings and other coaching things. And you can follow me on Twitter and on Facebook at Coach Lyle. And, you know, I do my best I can to engage with followers and answer their questions as much as I can on those channels. So, you know, feel free to reach out to me and ask some questions, and I'll do my best to get back to you.
I will say that, you know, Tony La Russa was a coach here in St. Louis. You know, doesn't matter if you loved him or hate him. One of his best things that he used to say when people would try to pin him down to pick the best at something, he would always say, well, you know, I don't know, but, you know, probably tied for first. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, there's a lot of great guys out there. I've been so fortunate with the guys I've had on the show. There's a lot of guys out there that I you know, because I'm on social media all the time. There's a lot of guys out there who do a great job of engaging with the public, the people that are interested. You and Steve Springer are for sure tied for first. I've never seen anybody spend more time on Facebook, Twitter, just talking to people about your passion. So as a coach and as a parent, I thank you for that, because you've helped, you know, not that I'm the smartest guy in the room, but you've helped me get smarter for sure.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
All right. That was Matt Lyle with his Hitting Vault, thehittingvault.com. It's a phenomenal tool. And again, I say that it really is, at the end of the day, in my opinion, an educational tool, both for, and this is why I love it, for the player, the parent, and the coach. And I always talk about how everybody involved has to be willing to work and be willing to do some things. Parents want to help the kids. The kids want to do it themselves. The coaches want... You know, coaches want to coach. Guess what? We all got to get better, right? So the Hitting Vault allows everybody to do that. It's awesome. I guarantee you, I'll tell you what, I promise you it's worth the 30 seconds it's going to take for you to open up Google and type in thehittingvault.com. I think you'll be impressed with it. It's a great thing. You know, very minimal. I mean, for what you get, I mean, I've spent a whole lot of money on much worse, but it is phenomenal. It's great stuff. And again, you couldn't ask for a better guy to participate in something with, because he's there, he's actively engaged, and he's constantly doing it for us, really, at the end of the day. But it's great stuff. I'm going to hold him to that. I'm going to hold Matt to the round table, because I think it's important. I think you could hear in his voice the reality of what's going on. And the reason I say the reality of it is, it's very, you know, Matt's out west. He's on the West Coast. Here we are in the Midwest, where I'm at. And then, you know, I'm fortunate and very blessed to have listeners all over the country, whether it be Florida, New York, Virginia, Carolina, Midwest, and then out there in California, Seattle, Washington. There's great people everywhere. This conversation that I brought up with him, you can tell by the tone of his voice, it's happening all over. It's not our little issue here. It's something that needs to be addressed. No different than, you know, arm trouble or helicopter parenting or whatever it may be. It's going on out there, and the only way we can fix it is by using this platform, or any platform for that matter, to talk about it. So, you know, when guys like Matt Lyle talk, I think we should listen. They've dedicated their life to doing this. There's a multitude of guys out there that I respect the heck out of. And as I, you know, Matt's tied for first. I mean, he's great. I challenge anybody to just start following him, check him out. Like I said, take 30 seconds, type in thehittingvault.com. I challenge anybody to look into any of that and come back with, you know, anything other than, you know what, great stuff. So, can't thank him enough for being on the show this week, and I look forward to it. I'm telling you, I promise you, listeners, I'm going to find a way to get Matt as a part of this show each and every week, because I know how much I got back when we had him on the first time, and I still see people every day comment on something we did over a year ago. So I'm going to find a way to get Matt involved in this show. I'm going to do that. Okay, we're going to take a short break, but before we do, I want to remind everybody that Youth Baseball Talk is brought to you each and every week by The Rope Trainer. endorsed by Hall of Famer John Smoltz. I think you all remember John taking time out of probably the greatest moment in his life, his Hall of Fame speech, to address the arm epidemic we have, especially at the youth level. It's very important to him. I know it's important to the creator, Earl Perrin, and Chris Verna, the legendary trainer that's worked with John and worked hand-in-hand with Earl and them on coming up with this awesome product to help your kid. I've said it 1,000 times over. I became so impressed with it that, you know, my thoughts are, I know that it seemed like the last few years, and it's a great, you know, the you know, you see the Jaeger bands and all that in the bullpens. I think we're going to see these rope trainers in bullpens all across the country. And with what they do and with what their purpose is, I think it's fantastic. So can't thank the guys at the Rope Trainer enough for being a part of the show. We're going to take a quick break, hear from one of our sponsors, Mark Lineweaver, so gracious with his support. And when we come back, of course, we're going to hear from everybody's favorite, Domingo Ayala, and his theory of baseball, as brought to you by The Pitch Hitter. Make sure you check out thepitchhitter.com for the greatest training aid for all young pitchers out there, and try to get away from that just throw strikes from the crowd. The Pitch Hitter is there to help you do just that. We'll hear from my good friend Justin Stone and his EliteBaseball.tv Majestic Corner Tip of the Week. And, of course, my friend Rick Strickland over with the St. Louis Pirates and his Blast Motion Tip of the Week. See you guys on the other side of the break.
Attention coaches, parents, and student athletes. Here at Youth Baseball Talk, one of the most common emails we receive from mom and dad are about the college recruitment and selection process. Far too often, these emails do not have happy endings. Let me tell you about our friend Mark Lineweaver in Perfect Placement. Perfect Placement identifies and helps you with important decision-making factors which are way too often overlooked in the college recruitment process, such as, is it the right student body size for you? Is it a comfortable proximity from your home? Do they offer your desired field of study? How about extracurricular activities that interest you? And of course, the proper level of competition for your skill set. Once they've identified these factors, they will contact those colleges and speak directly to the coaching staff in an effort to help you. To learn more about Perfect Placement, simply check out their website, perfectplacement.com. That's placement with a Y. To contact them, you can email them at info@perfectplacement.com. Remember, that's placement with a Y. Call 310-921-8669 for more information. That's 310-921-8669. Perfect Placement, specializing in assisting your student athlete.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back from the other side of the break. Happy to have you here at Youth Baseball Talk. I want to remind everybody to make sure they go to youthbaseballtalk.com. That's our website. It's the easiest way to catch up on past episodes, see what's going on, some of our great contributors. We have videos on there, and you can access Amazon and help support the show on there. It's very simple. You just click that Amazon, go do your shop, and we get a little bit of a referral back. It helps us a ton. We have a lot of people doing that, and we do really appreciate it. We're very, very engaged in social media. It's a great way for us to stay, like, very current with some of the things that are happening that need to be discussed. So, of course, we ask you to follow us on Twitter at Podcast Baseball. And, of course, on Facebook, it's facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk. The emails are great. I love them. I do my best to try to talk about all the stuff that you guys want to do. And as I just talked to Matt Lyle on there, it's some of the most hard-hitting stuff I'm getting right now. info@youthbaseballtalk.com. And of course, the easiest way to stay in tune with the show is to just subscribe. It's very simple to do. It is free. You go to iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, really any major podcast outlet that you may use. Just click the subscribe button. You'll get a notification each and every time we download a show, each time we put out a show. Like I said, we're working on the second part of this show, which will start on Mondays. And then Youth Baseball Talk, as it is now, will be on Thursdays. Twice as much content with more and more stuff for you guys to be able to educate yourselves on at whatever level it is you are. So that is by far our ultimate goal. And special thanks, of course, to lineupmedia.fm. The Lineup Media Group is our host network here. They do a phenomenal job. Great entertainment. I know everybody listening to this show, obviously, in some way, shape, or form, is associated with the game of baseball, whether it be at a real young level, a younger level, a young man's level. But we all have entertainment needs. Lineupmedia.fm, if you get on there, you're going to find some great podcasts. Podcasts are great because you can listen to them at your leisure. Some of the unbelievable stuff that's out there and Lineup Media growing. They're going to double in size here in the next 60 days, find themselves at about 80 shows. Just unbelievable content. Very proud to be part of this network. So many great shows. Make sure you check them out. And again, I can't thank everybody for doing all their shopping through Amazon at youthbaseballtalk.com. All right, let's head into the second half of the show. Of course, as always, can't thank our friends at the Rope Trainer enough. As John Smoltz says, everyone should have one, from big leaguers or little leaguers. So they always bring you this show each and every week. Let's hear from our good friend, Domingo Ayala. His theory of baseball has been a great add to the show. I know we have a lot of young guys out there listening to it. I've heard from all of you. You guys really love Domingo. I know you love him with his YouTube channel and his antics. He is great. He's a great ambassador for the game, especially at the youth level. I couldn't have found a better partner than the Pitch Hitter to present him each and every week. It's such a great device for young players. You need to check it out, thepitchhitter.com. You know, as Domingo says, don't be semi-pro. You want to be big time, you need to get yourself a pitch hitter. I promise you, if you check it out today, it's something that can help your young player learn how to throw more strikes, thepitchhitter.com. Domingo, tell us all about these bleacher umps.
Hi, Jim, how you doing? It's good to be back. And thank you to the Pitch Hitter for bringing me on the show. Today, I want to talk about the bleacher umpire. Now, I talked a couple of weeks ago about the bleacher coach, and the bleacher umpire is sometimes the same person. These people yell at the umpire no matter what happened. If it's a strike call, one side of the bleacher gets mad. If it's a ball call, the other side of the bleacher gets mad. Now, I understand the umpire is going to make a mistake, especially if they at the lower level. But don't tell me when you're sitting in the bleacher, 100 feet away from the call, that you have a better view. And if you're sitting down the third or first base line, you can't tell if the ball is inside or outside. So why you yell at the umpire about ball and strike from over there? You just look like you don't know what you're talking about. Now let me tell you something real right now, Jim. When you're looking back at your 10-year-old playing days, no kid gonna remember a bad call from the umpire. Mostly because there's too many to remember. But what they will remember is a embarrassing bleacher coach yelling at the umpire in a 10-year-old game. So don't look like a semi-pro by trying to be a bleacher ump. Just watch a game. That's what I got for today, Jim. Hopefully this makes some people think before they yell at Mr. Umpire. Thanks again to the Pitch Hitter for making this possible. And if you want to make it to the big time, check out the Pitch Hitter. Every time.
Great stuff as always from my man Domingo Ayala. And today he let us know all about those bleacher umps out there. And each and every week, of course, Domingo is brought to you by the Pitch Hitter. Make sure you check out thepitchhitter.com. Don't be semi-pro, be big time. Get your Pitch Hitter today. Of course, it's time to hear from Justin Stone and his Elitebaseball.tv training tip of the week. Very intrigued by this one this week, as it was interesting that we talked with Coach Lyle today about being more of an athlete and how we've kind of gotten away from it. Now we're kind of back to it. And very intrigued by the topic of Justin's tips today is it's unleash your homeroom derby swing. Everybody talks sometimes about these guys with these big swings, but maybe that's just what we need. So let's hear from the expert himself, Justin Stone. Justin, take it away.
Jim, Justin Stone here from Elitebaseball.tv, coming with you the tip of the week. And I'm going to take you back in the Wayback Machine here to when we were 11, 12, 13 years old as players. We're on a sandlot, we're in our yards, we're playing a game of wiffle ball, and there weren't any coaches around or parents to give us instruction. One of our favorite games to play, and we all played it, was Home Run Derby. In this Home Run Derby, for me, I was in my backyard, I had a garage that was set up, you know, 150 feet away, we're playing wiffle ball, and the goal of this game was to get the ball over the garage for a home run. So when we were playing Home Run Derby like that, there was a couple of things that I think are relevant to today's hitter in instruction. There were no adults, there were no coaches out there telling me what type of swing plane I needed, telling me how to mechanically get my lower body involved in the swing, or even how hard to swing at that. My goal was simple. I wanted to hit the ball in the air as far as I could. So there's some times where we use this as a coaches to simplify and not make kids afraid to be as athletic as possible in the batter's box and do what their bodies naturally will figure out how to do in hitting a ball hard and hitting it in the air. Ultimately, our goal now, from what we know all about in analytics in today's baseball, we know that our chances of getting a hit dramatically increase when we elevate the ball, when we hit it in the air. And there's nothing wrong with getting every ounce out of our bodies in the swing by swinging hard. But all of a sudden, we put instruction involved and we get umpires on the field and we think about all of the negative things that can happen when a ball is put in play or we fail to put a ball in play. And we get that passive approach where we're afraid to fail. Kids get afraid to strike out. Kids want to make sure we just put the ball in play. And a coach at some point says, hey, make sure we don't do too much here. Now, when I think back to the playoffs that I watched last night with runners, I believe, on first and third and one out, games on the line where Edwin Encarnacion comes up, and he could have just popped a ball in the air or hit a ground ball to somewhere to try to get a run in. That wasn't his approach. He was thinking, I'm going to hit this ball as far as I can right now. I'm going to make the outfielders go back, and what ends up happening? He hits a ball out of the park for a three-run walk-off home run. So it goes against, I'm not going to do too much right here, and it goes into, I'm going to lift this ball, and I'm going to hit it a mile. Let's have that approach with our kids once in a while. There's nothing wrong with stepping back from instruction and playing a game of home run derby with our athletes, or getting in a cage and challenging them to hit the ball in the air, or see how hard I can hit a ball. Let's make our kids explosive, and let's forget about that passive approach where we're just trying to put balls in play, getting away from that fear of striking out, or getting so mechanical that we make our kids overloaded with information, which slows them down. And yes, I am a mechanics analyst, and this is coming from a guy that spends a ton of time being very meticulous about our mechanics. But it does it no good, and I say this a lot to the kids that I'm teaching. I'm not teaching you correct mechanics to put a picture of you in a textbook. I'm teaching you correct mechanics so you can unlock your body's full potential and hit the ball over the garage. Elevate the ball and hit it as far as you can. So as we get into this off season right now, we have to make sure that we're being careful of not cookie cuttering our players, making them so mechanical we turn them into robots, we take away their athleticism, and we need to remind them, your money is made in the air, and hit the ball as far as you can. Be explosive in the batter's box, take that approach, and you know what? You're going to have a lot more fun doing it. Until next week, this is Justin Stone, and this has been the ElitePaseball.tv Tip of the Week.
Awesome stuff as always from Justin, and really appreciate his tips and takes on ways to help us all improve as being a player. And, of course, it's brought to you each and every week by ElitePaseball.tv. Time to hear from my good friend Rick Strickland with his Blast Motion Tip of the Week, brought to you from the St. Louis Pirates. So let's hear from Rick. Rick, take it away.
Hey, Jim, it's Rick again. Thanks for having me on the show again this week. And I wanted to invite all the listeners out, especially those in the local market, to come out and join us on what we call Arm Awareness Day. In conjunction with DeliveryValueSystem.com, we're putting together an informational day on the 15th out at Sauget for those who want to come out and listen and those who want to come out and take part in it. But what we're doing is we're putting together something to better assist the parents on their journey through baseball. We know that a lot of them have many resources that they can take advantage of as a parent, but we live in a culture where everyone is an expert, and a lot of people are stumbling on bad information, and we see that happening a lot too common. That's a problem in itself, but it becomes almost scary if that information is pushing the player or child closer to an injury or away from their full potential as a player. One of the first things we recommend as any parent, regardless of your child's age, is to get their pitching delivery checked out. You know, one of the things we often ask is, you know, how do you know if their throwing mechanics are leading them towards injury by placing excess or unnecessary stress on the throwing arm? This is something absolutely needed, that you are absolutely needed to know, especially considering how much time and effort and money a lot of us put into our kids as far as teams and travel and things of that nature, and you know, with visions of kids being able to play high school ball and perhaps even college ball. As such, any parent that is listening and has the ability to become more informed by the matter of coming out to this Arm Awareness Day and listening to and participating in what we do. So what happens in this event is people come out, they get videotaped, and in a few days we give the kid a score. And this is just not a score. Basically, you can talk to the guys at DVS about a consultation, but it really kind of gives you the blueprint on what really is needed to make sure your kid's able to participate and throw a baseball in the most safest and the most efficient way possible. So Again, we're going to have that information posted on our website. If you have any questions, reach out to me at 314-775-4953. It's regarding our Arm Awareness Day in conjunction with Delivery Value Systems. You can check them out at deliveryvaluesystems.com. Thanks, Jim, again for having me on the week. Again, for having me on the show again this week. I look forward to talking to you here real soon. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Rick. Really appreciate it. Each and every one of our experts, their contributions to the show each week are obviously so important, and they don't go unnoticed by me. I try to bring you guys each and every week some type of guest that's going to, in some way, shape, or form, help you as we navigate these waters of youth baseball, whether it be from hopefully always a positive side, but sometimes we have to fix some of the negatives so that we can improve it. And that's what I try to do with the show, and I do appreciate the support and the response I get from you guys on the whole. So thank you so much. Again, I hope you take just a minute to check out some of the great people that help make the show happen each week. Of course, I can't thank the Rope Trainer enough. Make sure you check it out. These are all things, folks, that will take just a minute for you to check out with the old Google machine. TheRopeTrainer.com, like I said, endorsed by Hall of Famer John Smoltz. I think it's worth your time and energy to check it out, theropetrainer.com. It will definitely help with this arm epidemic that we have. Of course, Domingo is brought to you each week by The Pitch Hitter. Go to thepitchhitter.com. When you see it for yourself, you know, if you have a young player, you're going to be like, God, that seems so simple. I need it. And it will help, I promise. And, of course, elitebaseball.tv is where you can learn a whole lot from Justin Stone and his great crew up there with Elite Baseball in Chicago. And Blast Motion, the new device that that Rick's using over there with the St. Louis Pirates. He's doing some tremendous things with hitters over there. And, of course, I encourage you to check out thehittingvault.com from our guest Matt Lyle this week. He's very proud of it, as he should be. For my producer, Brian, I'm your host, Jim Cromer, and I look forward to seeing everybody back with us next week. Until that time, enjoy the Major League Baseball playoffs, as it's that time of year, and nobody likes October more than me. Take care, and we'll see you after the weekend.
Tune in next week for another edition of Youth Baseball Talk. Subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to the show. Find us online at youthbaseballtalk.com, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk. Or on Twitter at Podcast Baseball. Plus, check out all of our podcasts at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.